Friends, good morning. Thank you and welcome to this service of worship. Delighted to have you here. We're missing most of our students today because this is spring break at the university. We're also missing 11 of our members who were usually here, but who today, in our behalf, are in Nicaragua, in the city of Managua, representing us and many others, I think, in doing ministry for this week with the group called Amos Health and Hope and our American Baptist missionaries there. I hope that as we worship, we will feel a sense of being with them and they here in spirit with us. This Wednesday, the season of Lent begins. And as is our custom, we will hold a service for Ash Wednesday in this room at 7 o'clock this Wednesday evening. It is a rather brief service, not much more than half an hour. We listen to Scripture, we pray, we consider our mortality, we begin reflection on what we must repent of, and begin to make fresh commitments to be the disciples of Jesus. I hope that many of you will join us Wednesday at 7. Then next Sunday morning, a new Lenten study begins for all adults who wish to come. Now, there are other adult classes that meet, and if you're in them, please feel free to stay where you are. But if you're not accustomed to staying for second hour, that's 11:30 to 12:30 on Sunday mornings, we hope you'll stay and join in the lounge for a class that during the weeks of Lent will be listening to African-American spirituals, one of these each week, and reflecting and drawing conclusions about our living in the world. I think you'll find it deeply moving, and I hope many of you can be present. I draw your attention to other announcements printed in the white insert. But now it is time for our worship to begin. Dear friends, we are here for no small purpose, and we do not enter this hour lightly. The Spirit of Jesus has invited us here and awaits us here. And so we bring our worship, giving, awaiting, responding. Thank you.
If you're able, please stand for the invocation. Please pray with me. Holy and loving God, you invited us to listen, to stop, to be open to perception. Calm our souls to hear, to be still, to receive the gift of mystery. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God is sovereign. Let the people tremble.
Let the people praise God's name. The Lord is holy, full of power.
O God, our sovereign, you love what is right. You have established equity, justice, and right.
Exalt the Lord our God and offer your worship, for the Lord our God is holy.
Thank you.
A reading from 2 Corinthians. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. The word of the Lord.
Tell me of a home far away. Please pray with me. Faithful God, we are blessed with this time of worship and quiet, that we may offer these prayers with the assurance of your presence. We come with thanksgiving, we are blessed, and recognize your part in all that brings us happiness. But bless us also with discomfort that shakes us out of complacency. Strengthen our trust, increase our patience, so that we may be purposeful in our attentiveness to others, those closest to us, and those on the edges of our lives. Help us to listen and to learn, especially with those with whom we disagree and those we find disagreeable. Guide us in finding ways to wade through our fear and our discomfort, to hear and see the worth in the persons around us, to be aware of the struggles of others, to see where injustice and inequity have caused such pain. Help us to find a way to offer something of ourselves along with our prayers, to listen and to speak, to act, to serve, to share. The challenges of the world and your people are so vast, and our lives are so busy and full, but help us. Strengthen us to find the small ways that we can show your light and hope. We offer these prayers for our friends and loved ones who are in need of your care and comfort today. Helen Louise Bowser, Ron Gregg, Carol Stump, Peter Bovey, Roberta House, Jean Evie, Lynn and Joan Blunt, Stacy Simpson Duke, Bob Simpson, Ron and Donna Timpton, Doris George, Bill McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Anna Kirsten, Sawne Lynn, Judy Stratman, Liz and Micah Dalton and Jennifer, Robert L., Marissa Alanese, Zan Morgan, Fred Fry, the people in Nicaragua, Jim Terrace, Terry, Dawn, Mary, Gloria, Alyssa Eckstein, Rebecca Levinson, the Jones family, John Wallace, John Rice, Jim Rowland and family, Val and John Casey, and as some were mentioned before, all the members of our church family as they start this Sunday in Nicaragua. Help them to feel our hearts are with them and with the people they will serve this week. And we share now with you our silent concerns and our thanksgivings. May our lives be filled with less selfishness, with more space for you, and with greater love for all your people. We lift these prayers in the name of Jesus, who taught us all about love. Amen.
Now, if you're able, will you please stand for the reading of the gospel? These words are from the Gospel of Luke. Now, about 8 days later, after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his exodus, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and in those days told no one about the things they had seen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. Be seated, please. And will the children please come forward as we all sing?
Younger than I am. I have a book, Annie knows this, to read, to share with you today. And so I've got this special mic because I don't have three hands. It's called Extra Yarn by Matt Barnett. Now, those of you who are readers will notice that I'm not reading all of the words. I'm going to tell the story. On a cold afternoon in a snowy part of the world, where everywhere you looked was either white with snow or dirty gray with soot, Annabelle found a box of yarn. And the yarn was of every color. She went home and knit herself a sweater. There was yarn left over, so she knit her dog Mars a sweater too. There was still extra yarn. As she and Mars were walking, Nate saw them, and Nate said, "You look ridiculous." "You're just jealous," said Annabelle. "No, I'm not," said Nate. But Nate was, when Annabelle knitted him and his dog a sweater. And there was still yarn left over. Annabelle went to school, and all the kids were staring at her colorful sweater. And the teacher got mad and yelled, "Annabelle, you are distracting us." So Annabelle knitted sweaters for everybody in the class, including the teacher. Still more yarn. So she knitted a sweater for everybody in the village. And also all of the cats and dogs and other animals. And the things that don't usually wear sweaters, like a mailbox, a birdhouse, and a house. The village was changed. One day, an archduke sailed across the ocean and demanded to see Annabelle. He said that he would pay $1 million for that box of yarn. Annabelle, who was knitting a sweater for the pickup truck, said, "No, thank you." The Archduke stamped his foot and said, $10 million. Annabelle said, "No, thank you." So the Archduke stole the box of yarn, sailed away with it. But when he got home and opened it, it was empty. He was so upset. He threw it out the window and he said, "Little girl, I hope you are never happy again." But here we have Annabelle finding it again. But she was very happy. That's a tree with a sweater, yes. I like this book because it is about a young person who made a difference, who did something nice for someone, and someone else, and someone else, and someone else, and her village was changed. She covered everything and everyone with her yarn. It also reminds me of God. God loves everyone. God covers everything in this world and everyone with God's love, and God's love never runs out. I'd like to think that Annabelle knitted that mean old Archduke a sweater and mailed it to him, and he was then happy. Do something nice. As a young person, you can change things. You can change the way people feel by doing something nice for someone, and then someone else, and for someone else, and for someone else. Say the prayer after me. Thank you, God, for loving us and everyone.
Thank you.
O God, by your Spirit, may we hear a true word, and truly may we receive it, and in response, offer our lives. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I am about to tell a story that Jesus said not to tell. At least that's what he told the people who were there when it happened. Later on, they did tell it, which is how we have it. And still, I'm a little reluctant because this story, frankly, is unrelatable. What can feel for us connected about this story and our living? Jesus is on a mountain with three disciples. He begins to pray, and as he prays, his face begins to change. A strange light is shining from it, and the light spreads through all of him and even on his clothes. It's as if he's made of light now, as if he's a figure from some other dimension. And then two figures appear beside him, Moses and Elijah, also shining and conversing with him. Peter bursts out, "Hey, let's build some shelters, one for each of you. We could put a steeple on this." Moses says to Jesus, "Who's the schmuck?" Jesus says, "That's my church." I made that up. And as they're speaking, a dark cloud rolls in, overshadowing everything. And a voice is heard, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And when the cloud moved on, there is Jesus, looking just like himself again, the one they knew or thought they had known. I think most stories in the Bible, in one way or another, end up being about us. But not this one. This one is about Jesus, who was absolutely one of us and who absolutely was not one of us. He lived fully in our dimension, yet belonged as well to another dimension, and there is glory in him and great mystery, blinding goodness, the face of the love of God, and the suffering of God is on him. And if we are not in awe of him, then what we know of him is paltry. He is mystery. He is shining, and the voice they heard on the mountain said, "Listen to him." And they did listen that day. At least they could overhear what was being said to him by what appeared to be Moses and Elijah. Now, most translations in English say that these two spoke to Jesus about his departure. The King James Version puts it charmingly, they spoke to him of his decease. But the original Greek text has this word, they spoke to him of the exodus he would accomplish. And yes, that means his death and resurrection. But there are other words for death and resurrection, so why does it say they spoke of the exodus he would accomplish in Jerusalem? Because what he's come to accomplish is liberation. In the Bible, Exodus refers to walking away from slavery. You remember the story. Massive numbers of Hebrews held as slaves by the Egyptian Empire. God sends Moses to say to the Pharaoh, the most powerful person on the planet, "Let my people go." But Pharaoh's economy depends on slaves, so he says no. Then back and forth goes the struggle, God and Moses demanding freedom for captives, Pharaoh refusing it until Pharaoh, with too many losses, finally says, "Let them go." And the people make their exodus out of their chains, liberated for a journey together toward a new home. And that is the business of Christ, winning freedom for us, helping us claim it, calling us to seek freedom for each other, and to devote our lives to seeking freedom for those who do not have enough of it in the world. That's the exodus Jesus accomplished. Like Moses, he confronted the empire of his day and the ways of corrupted religion around him. He had always been a force for liberation. He, in his first sermon, had declared, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim liberty to captive people." And so he did, befriending outcasts and sinners to set them free from shame, lifting up the poor, empowering women, defending children, calling the rich away from the bondage to their possessions, inviting all to walk free from the tyranny of falsehood and fear, to be free even from the power and the threat and the terror of death. But that was too much freedom for the empire, and too much freedom for the priests to manage. And so, like Pharaoh before them, they said no. And unlike Pharaoh, they killed the one who threatened them with freedom. But on the third day, God's finger flicked away the stone, and the liberator himself was impossibly free. And every liberating word he'd ever spoken was validated, and all the gifts of freedom he had offered to the world took new life and ran through the world and is still rolling on, to give us our truest freedom, giving the power to live and to grow as liberated and liberating children of God. That is the exodus Christ accomplished, and it is still rolling on. And is it rolling on in us? A question worth asking. Do we live like people who are genuinely, deeply, truly free? Or to what extent do we go through our days in a kind of captive existence? What if we now were all to try to answer out loud the question, in the past or in the present, what is it that has held you captive? What words do you suppose we might hear spoken in this room? My insecurity? My shame? Alcohol? Too much concern about money? My false ambition? What other people think of me? The wound of the abuse I suffered? A silence. And then we ask again, what else holds us captive? Our prejudice? Our bias? Our inability to forgive? The news all around us, the bogus values and falsehoods and unfairness and meanness of our time, and our fear of the unknown, fear of what may be inside ourselves, fear that we will lose more than we can bear to lose, and it will destroy us. Yeah, there's more than enough to be held captive by. And we who love our freedom and aspire to more of it may find real freedom, real personal, relational, societal freedom to be mighty, mighty hard to find and to keep. So a character in Tony Kushner's play Angels in America said that the guy who wrote the national anthem knew what he was doing when he set the word free to a note so high nobody can reach it. You know it wasn't just Pharaoh who resisted freeing the slaves. Some of the slaves resisted being free. Others who went free started sighing later on about how nice it would be to be back in bondage. It was easier to get them out of slavery than to get the slavery out of them. And so it is with the Exodus that Jesus accomplished for us all. Divine love made us to be free and then lived among us, teaching, showing, dying, rising to fling the door open to our freedom, to live in ways that take us journeying toward home. And we've tiptoed toward that open door and shied away from it. Some of us may have crossed over but come back inside it. Others of us have made quite a distance, but now keep finding new chains to slap on ourselves and new chains to put on other people around us too. But still, Christ is liberator, resilient, unconquerable liberator, and never ceases to be. He knows the ways of the enslaved and of the formerly enslaved, and he knows the power that holds us captive, those on the outside of us and those on the inside. And he will speak this as long as he needs to, sometimes with sharpness, most often with gentleness and patience. He says, oh, let my people go. Let the children of God go. And you, beloved, let yourself go on, go on. And be free. There is power in that word. As the voice from the cloud told the disciples, who were terrified by how brightly Jesus was shining, listen to him. The door has been opened to your freedom and mine, and the freedom really of all the world. The light that shines from Christ in our eyes is the radiance from the other side of that open door to a new way of living. It's one that takes us home, one that makes us as free as we were created to be. Let us be in awe and cast off our chains and walk through that door. Let us now resolve to give ourselves or to give ourselves again to the love of God in Christ for whatever purpose to which we are now called. And with this offering of ourselves, let us offer also our gifts. We extend to one another the best of gifts. In just a moment. The table at which Jesus sat with his friends on the last night of his earthly life was a Passover meal, a feast for the Exodus, a feast offered first for slaves, a feast of freedom. He spoke to them of his love. He spoke to them of God's purpose. He invited them, as he invites all of us, to gather to this table. Let us prepare ourselves for it and make our confession together before God. Almighty and merciful God, hear the good news. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We are a new creation, forgiven and free to live in newness of life. Glory to God. Let us extend to one another as forgiven and reconciled sinners the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you. God made the world, and God has made us all in love. When our love failed and we went astray, God's love did not fail, but continued to pursue us and to call us and embrace us. And in time, the Word of God took flesh and dwelt among us and has made us free. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Let us pray. Holy God, now make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world. May all glory be yours and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Will you stand to sing our hymn of fellowship? be seated. I was asked to say some words about Stacy's situation. I meant to do it at the beginning and forgot, but in as much as I would ask, was asked, feel like I must. We had all hoped that she could go to Nicaragua. She has been for some days now with her father, who is suffering his own difficult diagnosis. She was not able to go to Nicaragua, as numerous complications were found there, less, frankly, with his own illness, because his symptoms have shown some improvement, than with the institutional systems that she's been working with there. Not sure how long she'll be away from us. We expect her in church next Sunday, which is good reason for you to come back. And for now, that is all. If you want to know every possible thing about her, follow her on Facebook. Do you really? But do you really? Do you love me, but do you like my work? Oh, come on, no. No. That sounded like fishing, and believe me, I was just trying to get her back. I also want to say that today, in the lounge downstairs, we are completing what has been a wonderful course of study that we've called For All the Saints, different members of our community every week sharing something of the life of someone, either long ago or currently or just recently in their own lives, who've been great inspiration to them. We conclude today, and our final presentation is coming from Robbie Stapleton. It's going to be wonderful. I hope many of you will join us in the lounge for that. And now, will you receive benediction?
Shine upon you, give you grace, grace never to sell yourself short, grace to give something big for something good, grace to know that the world is not too small for anything but love and too dangerous for anything but truth. So may Christ take your minds and think through them. May Christ take your lips and speak through them. May Christ take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.